It's 10:32, side two.
Well, as I was saying, I would stop and think about it before I would act. And I would think it through, and then I'd act. And incidentally, I never second-guessed myself. So part of that observation may have been just that. Rather than sitting back counting or waiting until all the troops arrive, it's a matter that I'm thinking about what it is I want to do, then I go ahead and do it. Again, I don't think it's good management nor good government to continually shoot from the hip. I don't think it's orderly. It's just my way.
It's an interesting perception because later on, I mean, there are a couple programs that you come up with that we'll talk about, like a school tax-based program. It's something that you completely formulated on your own, and you didn't go out there to solicit a lot of support for it. So there seems like there might be some contradiction in that statement by the Oregonian, or by Bud Kramer.
Yeah.
But when you have something that you're going to put out there, do you try to do you have a strategy that you pursue?
I suppose it really genuinely a fault, and I would call it that, is that I would, you know, I knew enough about what I wanted to do, and having had 20 years experience, along with all these very able people that I had in state government, this whole idea of summits and task forces and all the rest of that stuff just wasn't, I didn't need it. Mm-hmm. I mean, why waste time doing it? Now that's good politics. You know, people think something's really happening. And so it was, but having done so, this was all internal. So you haven't built in a constituency for whatever it is you want. Mm-hmm. Talk to different groups and say, this is what I've got in mind, or run up a flag and things of that kind. So when you come out with it, really, it's all new to people. You haven't already built in a constituency of, oh yeah, what Vic's saying is right, you know, that kind of thing. So that would be a mistake in that sense. And I think that on some of the major issues that I made that kind of a mistake, and sometimes didn't prevail because of it.
Mm-hmm. A couple people that they interviewed in Willamette Week and had a few interesting perceptions, and I don't know, maybe some of these things we've already talked about, but one was some suggest that TIA should cut more state employees despite difficulties with civil service rules, which provide for bumping younger employees to maintain the seniority system, even if the older employees are less suited for that position. Ted, they said here, Ted Achilles, noted that most of ATIA's agency chiefs are longtime career state employees, and that bureaucrats have an inherent tendency to maintain the system they already have.
Well, he's right about that observation. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, you've got a body of people who are working and who would like to believe that this is a career opportunity and that they have a chance to move forward. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with that. It isn't, you know, just by the concept of bureaucracy, that's not bad all by itself. It's what happens with the bureaucracy. Do they react properly with the public? Do they understand why they're in business? Are they accommodating the citizens of the state? I mean, that's the important thing. Mm-hmm. Not that they've been there. Many of them, of course, know what needs to be done and how it should be done. I don't know what point you want to get into, or if you have notes on, the Employee Suggestion Awards Board. But this was all a matter of stimulating them, because I say to myself, these people know. Now let's find out from them how things should happen. So I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it. Just bureaucracy, of course, it's got a bad name. I use it as a bad connotation. But I use it in a muscular sense, that it's strangling people. Mm-hmm. But if it's managed well, it does what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's function for the citizens of Oregon.
I guess the area that we're looking at is your who you're appointing to run agencies,
yeah,
and to run the level of the bureaucracy underneath you. And there was some feeling that in contrast to your style, that Bob Straub tapped a lot of prominent businessmen to run major departments like Dick Davis and Charles Davis, Bob Burko, and people like that. And
Burko was a disaster. Mm-hmm. I hate to put this on tape, but I was yearning to have him can him. He unfortunately resigned, didn't give me the chance. Incidentally, I don't do that very often.
Uh-huh.
But he was a disaster. I know, in my own instance of hiring from business, and I had constantly was dealing with that person, trying to get them what I call properly bureaucratized. Mm-hmm. He wasn't using, actually in this case, had to deal with a appointed commission that I had mm-hmm. appointed. And I kept trying to tell him how to do this. It was a very painful period of time. Now that doesn't mean to say that that doesn't work. We talked about the executive department, and I finally reached back and got someone that had never been in government before to head the executive department, which is, as we talked about before, mm-hmm. a very important post. And he did a very good job for me. So, you know, but I wasn't doing it for effect. I wasn't doing it as tokenism in a sense. I was doing it when I thought was an appropriate place to put somebody that I believe was able to do the job. A lot of these things are done for, you know, it's good politics, sounds good. Charlie Davis is a bright man. I don't mean to pick on him. I mentioned about my unhappiness with Burko, but some of these appointments are good people, so I don't mean to say that they're not good people.
Right.
But it wasn't a matter of advertising the fact that I'm out going to reach out and get the people coming in. And I didn't have the same degree of disrespect for those who are working in government as most politicians do.
But did you feel better about relying on career administrators?
Sure. Well, my answer is quickly sure, but in a selective basis.
Mm-hmm.
There's some I wouldn't rely on, or others I'd rely on very heavily.
Right.
So it depends on my perception of their ability to do the job that I think ought to happen.
Did some people feel that it was rather ironic, you're being a Republican businessman, and relying more on career administrators than on, say, bringing people in from, you know, other businesses to run various aspects of the state?
I can understand that, you know, that they would be curious about that, and yet I think to myself, if in their own business, would they at random, just for cosmetic reasons, bring in somebody from the outside of that business? You know, to bring me into a high-level position at Intel, yeah, doesn't make any sense at all. I don't even know how to turn on computers. And yet I've been a governor for 8 years, I've been president of my own company for 35 years, I'm a businessman, so that doesn't match. Mm-hmm. Doesn't match at all. I'm better, if I were Intel, to bring people along and they would learn and that they knew, understand what's going on, and they could, you know, some people better than others, and you finally select someone. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
See? So I look at it the same way. It's a business. I'm talking about government now. These people hope to have some career in that business. If they do a good job, they will be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. That's healthy. But, yes, you see, now you're dealing with two things. Other people's perception of how things ought to be.
Right.
And my perception, having been 20 years in the legislature, and 35 years as a small businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had that 20-year perspective as a legislator. I knew the cast of characters out there. meaning state employees. I understood. I knew what some of the problems were and why things weren't happening. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's the politics of it. And I wasn't interested, again, in the politics of it. I'm anxious to get going. Remember I told you earlier on, I said, I got 4 years to do this. I don't have time to fool around. I don't know I'm going to have any more than 4 years. There's a lot of things I want to do in 4 years. So there's that impatience there and my prior knowledge, and maybe somewhat if I were, you know, if they really looked at me, they would say, God, T is an awful cocky guy. They never looked at me that way, but they might have.
Leo Hegstrom said, and he was one of the people that you appointed, that the big difference between you and Governor Straub was that you had more of a direct personal involvement in the managing of the affairs of the of state government, and that you're more personally involved in making critical decisions. Did Leo Hegstrom serve under Straub as well?
Yeah, but not the head of the department. Uh-huh. Leo came from Human Resource.
So he was capable of seeing the two different styles.
You remember I told you I was looking for, and this happened to be Leo Hegstrom, in Human Resource, someone that I could talk specifically with mm-hmm. about programs, but also was a good administrator, and that's a hard combination. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found Leo, and he's the one I asked to do that job.
It must be an interesting balance for somebody in your position to determine what the proper balance is for personal involvement and delegation of that authority to someone else. How did you struggle with that?
It wasn't really too much of a struggle because I had weekly cabinet meetings. I think we talked about that. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to convey in the broadest sense what I wanted to accomplish. And as we had reports, I could tell if it was moving in the right direction. I really wasn't really interested in the tiny screws. I wanted to know how things were functioning, but I really wasn't that minutely interested. That's not quite right. Leo Hegstrom. One of the things I told Leo, in all the years I've been down there, right near the end of the biennium, welfare's running out of money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was front page news. Leo, I don't want to hear about that anymore. I don't want that to happen. That's what I mean. That's what the direction. Dealing with the fair director, when we picked one, I said to him, I don't want to hear about the state fair until the state fair, because always somewhere in between state fairs there was some kind of scandal, some kind of something. I don't want to hear about the state fair until the state fair begins. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So now Leo's got in mind exactly where I'm. Now I'm not saying, now Leo, this is the way I want you to do this. I'm saying, oh, this is what I want you to do. You go do it. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. We talked about that. I knew that if somebody said to me, Vic, I want you to do this job, and as I told you before, and I expect you to do it, that says, I want to use your talent. I want to use your knowledge. That makes a guy feel pretty good. And also kind of puts an extra weight on his shoulders because he's got to get the job done. And I knew that. So that's how we operated. I also told all of my staff, my cabinet, if you will, which we didn't call it that, I don't want to ever be surprised. Something happened that I don't know about. And obviously it has to be something big because those are the kinds of things that hit the front page. So again, they've got a clue now.
Were they successful in doing that?
Very. Uh-huh. I don't really think I was. I can't remember being surprised. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean I never was, mm-hmm. but it certainly wasn't anything very important if I was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But having these weekly cabinet meetings, it kind of easily kept you up. You didn't wait a month or 2 months or 3 months, you know, and, you know, doing it on a weekly basis, you get little pieces. And as I think I mentioned to you, part of my style was to get agencies to understand each other, how they affect each other, and communicate with each other. And that hadn't happened before. So again, that's all part of this whole thing of how do you run the machinery of government. So I was involved in budgets more than any other governor had. But to me, programs, I wasn't dealing with money. I was dealing with a program, and then that converts to money. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a matter of backing into it, saying, here's the money, now let's see how we can make that fit. We would deal with programs. Then having done that, we'd say, okay, that's too much program, not enough program, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Or we can pare it down, or we can do it this way better. At times I get deeply involved. We mentioned it. I would bring in agencies. Okay, tell me about your agency. Now they know I knew, and because I've been there. But I was going through an exercise. I wanted to make sure that first of all they had to prepare for the governor, and they had different, you know, like human resource would have all the department division heads in there, and they were thinking about what they were doing. And I'd say, why you do it that way? A lot of things I knew the questions were coming up because I knew they were doing things differently. How come you're doing it that way? Why are you doing it that way? Isn't there a better way of doing it? So informing me, but also getting them to think about what they're doing. And I did that with all the state agencies over a period of time. Well, now people have a perception of how they think government ought to work. And, you know, oftentimes, like you're quoting different people in different media, that's their version of how they think it ought to work. Mm-hmm. But I'm the one that's fully responsible for it. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that has to take place. So I'm going to do it the way I think it ought to happen, not the way they think it ought to happen.
But did you have problems running into the people in the bureaucracy that fought you in the way you wanted to do things? Either openly or covertly, that you had a hard time getting them to do the things the way
it was harder. It was harder for them to do that with me than it would have been my predecessors or my successors. Mm-hmm. The Media Act is. Let me use the media as my example. I observed during Goldschmidt's term that. I observed during Goldschmidt's term that the media let Neil get away with a lot of things they would never ever let me get away with. You know, he would not know the answer to the questions, or he wasn't able to give a definitive answer, or Freddie Petit in Human Resource, well, that's Freddie's fault, not my fault. They would never have let me get away with that. In a sense, we expect you to know, Vic. Now, no one ever said any of this, what I'm talking about, but I'm observing it. We expect you to know, so now you give me an answer. We don't expect you to know, Neil, so we don't expect an answer from you.
Was that because he wasn't in government? He was more or less an outsider?
Well,
you think?
But maybe more that I was an insider in the sense that I'd been there a long time, mm-hmm. rather than he was an outsider. For whatever reason, I've observed that. There are answers that they wouldn't expect from Clinton that they would easily expect from George Bush. Now, I don't think anybody thinks of this in an overt way, you know, consciously thinks of it. But I've observed that. Mm-hmm. Now, having just now said that to you, the bureaucracy reacts the same way. You know, it's awful hard to fool Vic. He's been around 20 years. You know, we can say, oh yeah, we'll take care of that, Vic, and then like most governors, well, it'll all go away. And I've said that to him. I've told him. I said, I understand all this. I said, I'm asking you to do this thing. Do you think, well, he's going to forget it, it'll go away? I've told my agencies this. It ain't go away. It's not going to go away. I've told him that. You know, this is different. Now, we're in a different world than you've been in before. And they kind of enjoyed that, too. But the fact is that I'm sure there were some things that were let slip, but again, nothing in a major sense, because I would know about it. And you reminded me, because I hadn't thought about that for some time, but I've said to state employees or state management, mm-hmm. and said, I see you've heard other governors say this before. I'm giving them a speech now. You've heard other governors say this before. But I said, this is different. I ain't going to go away. I know what's going on. And so what I'm just telling you, I mean, and it's going to happen. All very pleasant.
Well, going on to some of the policies that you were coming up with and looking towards the second legislative session of your governorship, we've talked a little bit about this before, but your idea of promoting conservation and alternative energy development was a big program for you. And the program called for expenditures of $144 million by the department, and the bulk of it in loans for the development of renewable energy resources. How was that perceived by the public?
That wasn't too well received. In the sense, here was a growing bureaucracy, massively growing. And in the sense that it was a small agency which could kind of be kicked around or less regarded. It, we can live with that.
Right.
We don't mind if it's there as long as it doesn't bother us. But I'm trying to crank this thing up. And crank it up in the sense of really conservation was really the major effort. Once we get a report, you could tell.